Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
From the number one sports site in the world.
Big names.
Bold interviews.
Beyond the X's and O's.
Welcome to the fastest 2 hours in radio.
On Yahoo Sports Radio.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
With the one and only, the triple threat, the Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell. The 6 foot former Sooner women's basketball player.
She can post, pin, and produce with some of today and yesterday's biggest stars.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Get ready to go beyond the X's and O's.
With today's star athletes, coaches, and sports figures.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
Right now.
Now from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio.
Are you ready?
Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze.
Here she is, the one and only, the Big E, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Back with you in hour number two right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm Alyssa Walker-Campbell. As I continue to guide you through the fastest 2 hours in radio, I know you got a lot of options out there. We're so glad you've made it a point to join us on this July 4th holiday. Connect with us at Twitter, at eRadioSports, and you can always email the show at Alyssa@yahoosportsradio.com. Time to bring in Andy Pondillo with our weekly MLB news and notes report. Good evening, Andy. It's nice to have you back with us.
Nice to be here as always.
Okay, do you have big plans on this July 4th holiday?
No big plans, just going to a housewarming party on 4th of July, so that'll be exciting.
Okay, and you're going to be careful with those fireworks too, right?
As much as I can be.
Okay, so let's talk about your Houston Astros. What's going on with this beard mania in Houston? I mean, we're not talking about James Harden. We're talking about, what, Dallas Keuchel?
Yeah, it's Keuchel's Corner over at Minute Maid Park now. It's kind of like King's Court that they have over in Seattle, Keuchel's Corner. They're all wearing beards. They all have their special shirts. And for good reason, in my opinion, the American League Cy Young Award winner to this point and should be starting the American League All-Star Game. Keuchel, not only the ERA, not only the strikeouts, not only the great pitching, but the complete games. He's a true old-school pitcher and as dominant as you're going to find in all of baseball right now. You will get him through 7 or 8 innings, and usually 8 innings on just about every start.
You know, it's interesting. Here we are in the month of July. The Houston Astros are rapidly approaching, what, winning 50 this year. What's your view and perception of the Astros at this point and what they're going to maybe be able to accomplish?
It's going to be a wild ride through the rest of this season. Winning games in August and September seems to be a lot tougher for young teams than winning games in April and May, though the Astros are poised to make a move. If any team can grab a starting pitcher, it's going to be the Astros, and I think that they most certainly will. There's absolutely no scenario, in my opinion, they don't get a starting pitcher, and I think there's a scenario where they might get 2 starting pitchers. They have enough resources to do that. I don't know if they're in full go-for-it mode because it's hard to just fleece the farm system. That's not something that's really in Jeff Luno's nature. At the same time, this season they're going to go for it at least 75% because it's a weak American League this year. There's no dominant teams in the entire league, not just the AL West, but the entire league. In my opinion, there's not one complete team. So if you can get a player or two to put yourself over that edge, you may have one of the easiest chances to get to the World Series that we've seen in recent seasons.
Well, it is the month of July, so the trade month, the deadline is the 31st, and there are plenty of pitchers to go around. Who do you view, Andy, as some of the lead guys to head to Houston?
I think that a lot of people would love Cole Hamels and Johnny Cueto, but if I were a betting man, if I'm betting money on this, I'm going to go Mike Leake and Jeff Samardzija as the lead candidates to end up in Houston, just because I feel like for a Johnny Cueto, you're going to have to give up 2-3 top prospects for a rental pitcher. And anyone that thinks that you're going to get him cheap because the Reds have to trade him, they do have to trade him. They do need to unload him. They need to get something for him. But every time that you think that it makes the most sense for him to come to Houston, there's going to be a team that's always going to go above and beyond, and they're going to trade their whole farm system to go for it this season. That's generally a New York Yankees, a Boston Red Sox, not going to be the Red Sox this year. But, you know, these high market teams, they don't play by the same rules. They will fleece their farm system for rental players, and I don't think the Astros are willing to do that. I think that you see them get a tier two pitcher, which is not the worst case scenario because there's a lot of good ones out there.
Hey, Andy Pondillo with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with our audience across the country.
You can find me on climbingtowshill.com. The podcast is Astro Chat.
Okay, so some of the guys that you were talking about that potentially could end up in Houston, I mean, you're talking about, what, 2-3 caliber players in rotation, and that's not going to cost you those top fleet prospects.
It might cost them a few, but it's not going to cost abundance. You look at these trades. There's a couple ways you can go about them. We've seen last year where you combine a top prospect with a major league ready player or an almost major league ready player, and sometimes that'll ease the amount of abundance of players you have to give. Whereas the Astros, I feel like they're going to get teams that are going to ask for a Vince Velasquez. They're going to ask for a Preston Tucker, guys who are in the major leagues right now, but you still consider them prospects because they're rookies. So the decision they have to make, are they going to trade three single A, double A, triple A guys, or are you going to trade two, which is going to be a major league player and then a top prospect? Regardless, you know, we look at the names on this list, the Scott Kazmir, the Mike Leakes, Jeff Samardzija, all these guys, they're not the Cole Hamels, they're not the sexiest pick out there, but they're still going to cost you some type of top prospect.
So do you see the Astros as a desirable destination?
I think they're a very desirable destination right now for a guy that wants to win. You come to the American League West where it's a weak division. You feel like the Astros have as good of a chance to win a division as any team in all of baseball right now besides the St. Louis Cardinals. So I think that if you're on a bad team and they're selling, this is a very desirable place to at least be through the end of the year. Now, as for a free agent, some of these free agents, they want to go to these all-veteran teams. They want to go to a Yankees. They want to go to a Red Sox, a Dodgers. You know, that maybe that's not as attractive to a free agent in the offseason to play with a bunch of young guys. However, I think there's going to be some free agent attraction in Houston. After this season, people are starting to believe in the plan. They thought the Astros were crazy. There's a lot of well-known writers out there who I won't put on blast that were just ripping the Astros any chance they got, and now all of a sudden they're praising them. So, yeah, there's going to be players out there that maybe change their mind in the offseason.
You know, Andy, you bring up a great point because I was going to ask you, what is the perception, the view of the Astros? I mean, here they've had a statement win, actually two of them, you know, with splitting with the Yankees and then winning the series against the Royals.
Yes, and it's interesting to see how much the writers like the Astros right now and think that their future is bright and they have a fantastic plan. But you take that about 2 years back, people were calling the Astros a disgrace of baseball for tanking, doing what teams in the NBA do to get high picks in the lottery. Maybe Jeff Luhnow was ahead of his time here. Maybe he was on to something. And really, when they bought the team, when Jim Crane took over, they didn't have a choice. This team was stuck in mediocrity to very bad play with a bunch of aging veterans, no farm system, limited spending. There's not much you could do. You can't, in baseball, you can't just get a bunch of free agents and fix a long-term problem like that. He did the best he could. He bottomed this team out. And, you know, whether anybody wants to admit it or not, they tanked for a couple seasons after Jim Crane took over the team. But by doing so, they built a winning culture in the minor leagues. Every player that comes up through the minor leagues has played on winning teams and on every level of the minor leagues. So all they know is winning championships down at that level. So when they come to the big leagues, it's a new crop, it's a new team. You know, this is just the beginning of getting all these guys together.
Okay, our MLB news and notes with Andy Pondillo right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Again, Andy, tell the listeners where they can connect with you.
ClimbingTowshill.com, the podcast Astro Chat.
Okay, always one of his favorite subjects, talking about his Astros and general manager, Jeff Luhnow. Obviously, he's done a great job, but what are your thoughts about now how he's got to handle this whole scandal with this hacking situation with the St. Louis Cardinals?
I feel like at this point, he's just got to leave it up to the FBI. They're going to do their investigation and see what happens to the Cardinals. I'm curious what the Cardinals were wanting to find out, as a lot of people are, so we just got to wait and see what happens with that investigation. I would imagine Jeff Luhnow, he's not going to come out and say it, but I imagine those are supposed to be your friends over there. That's who he used to work with at the Cardinals.
Right,
I don't know if he's hurt inside at all over all of that, because I'd imagine he still has a lot of friends in that Cardinal organization. So really nobody knows what's going to happen with that thing. I don't know if we'll hear any more to the end of the season.
Is this worse than Deflategate?
I don't know. I mean, it depends what they were looking for. I don't throw out the cheating accusation on this as much as other people do, because the Astros and Cardinals don't play each other. They're in different leagues. You might see each other once every couple years now. I think it was more they wanted to know what Jeff Luhnow took from them and brought to the Astros. And, you know, hey, they could have hired him as general manager. They didn't. He took a higher position. It's what people do in any profession. They go somewhere where they can get more money, where they can get a better title. And came to the Houston, he took what he learned from them and brought it here and maybe expanded it quite a bit. That's what I think they're most concerned about.
Well, I had to wonder, you know, what were they trying to gain access of?
They're trying to gain access to trades, analytics, how he's doing things in the draft, what his criteria is. Everything's mathematical. I mean, he hires NASA employees to run analytics on players. So I think they want to know what exact algorithm he's using to have great drafts.
Andy Pondillo with us with our MLB news and notes. We've got to step aside for a quick commercial break. We'll be rejoined, and we're going to be talking about the baseball trades. That's right. The trade deadline is later this month, and there's plenty to go around. Much more straight ahead right here at YSR.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell. The Big E.
Back with you at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we continue to go around the horn in our MLB news and notes with our very own Andy Pondillo. And boy, I tell you what, Andy, we never get enough of Pete Rose. He's back in the headlines again. What's been going on?
Well, they found out that maybe he bet as a player, maybe he didn't, and I don't know. I mean, if he bet as a manager, he probably bet as a player. You don't become a degenerate gambler overnight. It's not like you just wake up and you're a degenerate when you're a manager, so it all makes sense. You know, if they can prove that to be true, and that's something he's been adamant about, that he never bet as a player, he's trying to find forgiveness, get in the Hall of Fame, but it seems like maybe there was some movement. This will set him back to the point he'll never get in as long as he lives. I think one day, ultimately, it's like a Roger Maris case, where Roger Maris, they acknowledged him as the home run champion way after he had passed away. I think that's the same type of thing that happens to Pete Rose. He gets back into baseball after it's too late. He faced his penalty. He never got to walk into that Hall of Fame.
Do you think there's mixed reviews? I mean, what do you think the fans are thinking? Do they believe in grace? Do they believe in forgiveness and to allow him to get into the Hall of Fame?
Most fans seem to want him in because baseball's been tainted in so many ways by other things and the steroids and whatnot that, you know, why are we making it a Hall of Good People? It should be the Hall of Fame. So I think most people are on board with Pete Rose. The ones that aren't, they're going to be upset of the line is what that's all going to be about. It's more the line than anything.
Okay, Andy Pondillo with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Okay, it's trade month. The deadline, the 31st, and there is plenty of players to go around. What are some of the potential moves that we can anticipate, Andy?
Well, there's a lot of pitching this year because there's a lot of free agents in pitching next offseason, so that means it's going to be a fun trade season. It really depends who's in the race in about 3 weeks from now. There are teams like the Oakland Athletics is one I target a lot. A lot of people consider them sellers, but they've had some recent streaks. You know, they have a top five pitching staff in terms of some statistics. They have top five offense in terms of some statistics you look at, yet they find themselves dangling in last place. They're a good week away, and then all of a sudden they're back in the wild card hunt. There's a lot of teams like that with two wild cards. You string together 7 wins in a row, and then all of a sudden you're not a seller anymore. It changes very quick. I do think that obviously the Phillies become number one sellers, the Rockies. Those two teams are going to be teams that I think need to fleece their whole organization if they can. And the biggest name that can probably go will be Troy Tulowitzki from the Rockies. I'm really interested to see how they manage that situation, if they're able to move the money. I feel like we talk about the other big names, Cole Hamels, that's inevitable. He's either going this trade season here or he's going in the offseason. They got to do something. And Johnny Cueto is going to go whether the Reds get the value they want for him or not.
Oh, but Cole Hamels, he's got, 3 years left on his deal?
He's got 3 years left, but they just did a president change when it comes to the Phillies. Ryan Sandberg, the manager, walked out. It's an ugly situation. They have an ugly situation like that. You blow the whole thing up, and it's time for the Phillies to do that. Not halfway, not trade a few guys. They got to blow the entire roster up, and I think that starts with getting rid of the money. That's going to be Cole Hamels, who's tradable. It's going to be Ryan Howard, who I don't know if he's tradable unless they eat 95% of his salary.
Okay, you're the great pronosticator. Do you anticipate some surprise trades that and some movement that could be taking place?
There'll always be surprise trades because you just don't know who's available ultimately until teams are in or out of the race. You're getting to the dog days of summer now where we'll see teams hit a wall. You'll see teams get really hot right around now. So it's really hard to project what's going to happen. There's teams. I look at more teams in general if they're going to start selling. Let's look at the teams that could go one direction or another. One of those is the Seattle Mariners, had high expectations this season. A lot of people thought they could make a World Series run, had a great pitching staff. They fought the race. You know, I wonder if a guy like a Logan Morrison becomes available. You know, I wonder if the Orioles could be another one, the Blue Jays. They're right in the hunt right now, and there's no reason for them to sell. But you always got to remember, there's still a lot of games before this deadline hits. If any of these teams are to fall out of the race, they have a lot of commodities that would be beneficial to other teams. The Brewers are pretty much out of it. The Reds have kind of hung around the middle ground. They look like they're out of it unless they get really hot. So you look for some fringe players, too. The Brewers will probably trade Aramis Ramirez because he said he's going to retire at the end of the season. They're not going to get much for him, but there's always teams looking for these little pieces, whether it's a bullpen arm, whether it's a utility player. You look for the teams that are starting to fall out of the race. Miami Marlins, team that's supposed to be good that will fall out of the race. Does Ichiro go back on the market? He's a guy that obviously a good veteran presence. So there's tons of possibilities right now, but everybody's centered around Johnny Cueto, Cole Hamels. Those are the big names.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to see what kind of movement does take place there as Andy Pondillo is with us just a few more minutes. And, of course, just around the corner, the All-Star game. What are you looking forward to the most with this?
Hoping that the whole team isn't full of Kansas City Royals would be the start.
Okay, give us an update on what's the latest with that, because last time in our last conversation, that's what we talked about.
Well, it seems like they figured that out, and now they only have about four starters listed. They're supposed to announce the results this weekend, I believe it is. So, you know, All-Star game's fun. It's not my thing. I've gotten kind of bored with it, to be honest. I'll still watch because I like baseball. There's a new home run derby format that's supposed to be quicker with our timing the hitters. I think the biggest thing we've been cheated on is Giancarlo Stanton getting hurt. We won't be able to watch him in the home run derby, which would have been exciting. Though, I expect a good, fun game. Cincinnati is a beautiful park out there, and I think they'll do a good job of hosting this game. Heck, they need something to cheer about because that organization's going south right now.
Well, of course, with it being in Cincinnati, I'm assuming Pete Rose is going to be there, and a lot of memories from his time.
They say he's supposed to be there. They're supposed to have some sort of festivity with him, and we'll see what happens with that. It got a little bit tainted with the latest news.
Okay, we're wrapping up our interview with Andy Pondillo, our MLB news and notes, and here we are in the month of July. The season, it is rapidly flying by us. What's been the biggest surprise that you've seen as the season has played out up to this point, or perhaps team?
I think one of the biggest surprises has to be my Astros, of course. The Minnesota Twins are probably right up there, and you know, just looking at the divisions, American League West was supposed to be strong. It's not very good. American League East was supposed to be horrible. All of a sudden, it's good. And, you know, one of the strongest divisions a lot of people don't talk about, the National League Central. Mm. That division's got it going right now. Three strong teams. Someone's going to get screwed out of this division, most likely.
Okay, Andy Pondillo, have a great July 4th.
Sounds good.
Okay, much more straight ahead tonight right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, as Hour 2 rolls on.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell. The Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell back with you inside the Quicken Loans Studios right here at Yahoo Sports Radio on this July 4th weekend. So far tonight, we have had a ton of NBA talk and how teams are looking to stay relevant and competitive with the free agency frenzy. We're going to change things up a bit. We're going to head to Norman, Oklahoma, focus our attention on some college football. Always a pleasure to have back with us from OU Insider and 1400 KREF, my man, James Hale. Happy 4th of July, James.
Oh, happy 4th of July to you, and I'll bet you look good on the
4th. Yeah, I'm lighting up fireworks, aren't I?
Well, usually you wear some kind of patriotic outfit, you know, and they do that on Halloween, too, so make sure you text it to me.
Oh, you've got a very long memory. So we're going to shift gears real quick because I'm turning red. The countdown to the college football season, it is just around the corner, and what's your outlook as far as the forecast with the Big 12? Obviously, the Bears and TCU, they're at the top. What about the depth within this conference?
Well, I think the depth's really pretty good. I know a lot of people look at it and think that Oklahoma, Texas, Oklahoma State all have questions, and maybe they do a little bit. But, you know, Baylor also lost some key personnel. I mean, you lose your quarterback that, you know, could start in the first year in the NFL and Bryce Petty. You know, and I know they've done a pretty good job, and I agree Art Briles and his offense, he's got it going, and he's been able to replace, you know, the quarterbacks in back-to-back years when he went from a Heisman Trophy winner to a guy that was in the mix. And, you know, will he be able to do it again with Seth Russell? Then, of course, TCU lost some key personnel as well. But you just figure they'll rebuild on defense, even they lost three starters. And, you know, Gary Patterson has that kind of track record. But Oklahoma does not have his momentum. I mean, Oklahoma got whipped pretty bad in the bowl game by Clemson. Then they lost in a fluke against Oklahoma State. They had no momentum. You're seeing that in recruiting. You know, but they've had a pretty good spring. And the new influx of new coaches has brought a breath of fresh air with Lincoln Riley as the offensive coordinator. And, you know, you've got Dyer Reynolds on defense, and you've got Kerry Cooks on defense. And that allows Mike Stoops to be kind of a CEO of the defense and oversee everything instead of coaching a position for the most part, even though he will be in charge of outside linebackers. In Oklahoma State, they have a promising young quarterback that everybody's high on. They have one of the best defensive ends, so does Baylor. Baylor has one of the top offensive tackles. And then, of course, Texas, if they can find a quarterback, everybody knows they'll be pretty formidable, even though they've lost a lot of players, just because they haven't fit into what Coach Strong wants to do. So I think there's depth here, and I haven't even mentioned Kansas State yet, and you never bet against Bill Snyder. So I think there's some depth in the Texas Tech. They'll throw it around with Coach Kingsbury. And, you know, so, yeah, I think there's depth in the conference, and maybe it's a better conference than people want to give it credit for right now.
OU insider James Hale with us tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. And talking about the Oklahoma Sooners, they're looking to get back to their winning ways. A disappointing season. They finished what unranked. You were talking about momentum. What else do you think has been missing within this program?
Well, it's quarterback play. You know, they had great quarterback play with Landry Jones. And just like Baylor is assuming, hey, we'll just keep running them out there and they'll keep being really, really good. Well, Trevor Knight has been very hot and cold and too inconsistent to really be a winning quarterback at this level. So they need good quarterback play. If they get good quarterback play, whether it's Trevor, Baker Mayfield, or, you know, Cody Thomas, whoever it is, if they get good quarterback play, look out. I mean, Oklahoma's got the best running back core in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a much improved wide receiver core that they've got a sleepish smile on inside the office, because last year they weren't that good at receiver, but OU's usually really good at receiver. And with Sterling Shepard healthy, the addition of D.D. Westbrook, the emergence of Mark Andrews, the health of Micaiah Quick, the steadiness of Deron Neal, and then some promising young guys like John Humphrey and Jeffrey Mead and Smallwood and people like that, they think they're going to be really good at receiver. And they're banking that Bill Beanbow will work his magic and take a talented but young offensive line and really put them together. But they can do all those things, Dee, and get poor quarterback play, and they would be liable to lose 3 or 4 or 5 games this year. If they get good quarterback play, though, they're in every game that they're going to be in. They won't be out of the game because they've got enough weapons around that quarterback that he doesn't have to do it himself. What he can't do is beat himself, which is what Trevor did some last year. But I'm going to bank on Trevor growing up, becoming better, learning more. And, of course, Baker, I've always been a Baker Mayfield fan, so whoever wins that job, I think, will be a more efficient quarterback than they had last year.
Well, the Sooners looking for some clarity with the quarterback position, but let's get up close and personal. Tell me more about Baker Mayfield. You said you've been a fan of his. What are some of those early impressions? Because he's obviously made a lot of headlines, and he's not even taken a Sooner snap.
Well, he's always been a mystery to me. In other words, why didn't he get a scholarship coming out of high school? Instead, he walks on at Texas Tech, and not only does he walk on, he wins the quarterback job and becomes the Big 12 Offensive Freshman of the Year. Now, that's pretty amazing when you think about it. And then Tech doesn't want to keep him. They basically run him off. So they decide to come to Oklahoma right after Trevor Knight puts on a show in the Sugar Bowl. So that shows me he's got moxie, he's got confidence, he's cocky, and yet he's humble when you talk to him. And I like that about him. I like the fact that he became a walk-on starting quarterback in the Big 12. And even though his stats weren't amazing, they were good enough, they were pretty good, to give you hope in the future that he'll be really good. He's real intelligent. He's going through some shoulder fatigue right now, so I think they're going to shut him down for a week to 10 days here in the summer. But that happens a lot to quarterbacks or pitchers who's throwing a lot, and they throw so much in the summer now. It's not going to be a problem in training camp, or they don't expect it to be. And he's got a good head on his shoulders, so, yeah, he's going to be tough to beat. Trevor Knight's really talented. Trevor might be even a better athlete than Baker. That's close, but he can outrun him in a 40 and maybe outjump him and things like that. But Baker's got the intangibles you look for to winning quarterback, and he's pretty salty under center.
Okay, James Hale from OU Insider and 1400 KREF in Norman, Oklahoma. James, reach out to our audience how they can connect with you and check out your work.
Well, you know, it's OUinsider.com. They can always find us there. And, of course, you can listen at SportsTalk1400.com from 11 to 2 every day Central Time. And I'm Jay Hale 21, I think it is, on Twitter.
Yes.
24. It's one of those. So, you know, and it shows you about Twitter. Twitter's fine. I know you're good on Twitter, E, but, you know, I'm still trying to figure it out, you know. So, anyway, it's something like that.
Okay, so Oklahoma, they've hired this new offensive coordinator. You mentioned him, Lincoln Riley. What set him apart from some of the other candidates that Bob Stoops was looking at potentially?
Bob Stoops has always felt the toughest defense for him to defend was the air raid offense of Hal Mumme. And his first offensive hire was Mike Leach, who was a disciple of Hal Mumme. And that first year, the Sooners threw it around. They lost 5 games, but it was so much better than they did in the Blake era that they really thought things were going in the right direction. When Mike left to Texas Tech, they went to Mark Mangino, who did a great job of reinstalling the running game with the air raid, and they had the perfect balance and won the national title. Since then, the Sooners have had kind of variances of the air raid. But they've always had an Adrian Peterson or DeMarco Murray or Alan Patrick or somebody they could feed the ball to. So they became more of a pro-set offense, really. And after what happened last year, then 2 years ago, they had to go to 4 wides because their tight ends got hurt. And you know, they got a little bit of away from their basic premise. And I think what Bob was looking to do was just to, you know, they tried the quarterback veer last year and it was a disaster. And I think he just wanted to get back to what Oklahoma does best, which is throw the football and then turn around and hand the ball to one of those great tailbacks and tell him to run behind a 320-pound offensive line. And what Lincoln Riley does, he's the best young coach out there that does that. And Bob found him. He's at East Carolina. He did a great job at East Carolina. He became kind of an urban legend when he was a young coach at Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just the best guy out there to bring that offense back. I think he's got to run some out of it with those running backs. I think that's what you got to do. And I think he will, and I can't wait to see what he comes up with.
I know you spent some time around Lincoln Riley. I mean, what's kind of the vibe that you get off of him? I mean, does he have the ability to recruit and help attract some of that top talent into Norman?
Well, he's a great recruiter, to be honest. He's already got a great quarterback coming in for 216 and Austin Kendall, and an outstanding one in Chris Robinson out of Ford High School in Mesquite, Texas, for 217. So, you know, those quarterbacks notice those numbers that they're putting up and the way that they're throwing the ball around, and they certainly pay attention to that. You know, he's got a quiet confidence about him. It's a cockiness, but it's not an abrasive cockiness. But he's confident, and, Bob's given him the run of the offense, and he's confident enough to tell Bob to leave him alone, that if he does, he'll produce numbers and he'll produce yards, and that's what they're doing. And he's been a breath of fresh air. He's been aggressive on the recruiting front. He's not afraid to help out other coaches. He'll recruit offensive linemen, wide receivers, defensive tackles. I mean, he's really selling Oklahoma. He's been a big asset to Oklahoma so far.
Okay, our Big 12 conference breakdown, zeroing in on the Oklahoma Sooners, our good friend of the show, James Hale from OU Insider and KREF 1400 in Norman, Oklahoma. James, have a wonderful weekend. Can't wait to catch up. Thank you.
Hey, send me that picture now.
Okay, much more straight ahead tonight at YSR. Talk soon.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell. The Big E.
Okay, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio and YahooSportsRadio.com. I'm Alyssa Walker-Campbell. As always, open invitation. You can listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. And you can listen, as always, on any computer or smart device by stream, YSR.com. Well, it has been a while since we've had an opportunity to talk some college football. So we're going to shift gears. We're going to zero in on the Texas Longhorns. Headed out to the Big 12 Conference. And we want to get a recap on all the happenings that have taken taken place in the offseason. It is so good to have back with us and joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. That is Steve Habel from Horns Illustrated. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Alyssa, thanks for having me back on.
Hey, it's good to hear your voice. And here in just a moment, we're going to talk about your Longhorns and football season. Gosh, the start of it, the countdown is on. It'll be here before you know it. But let's zero in on the Longhorn that's been making the biggest news in the offseason, and that, of course, is Jordan Spieth. Gosh, he wins the Masters in April and then the U.S. Open. He's won his first two majors on completely different courses, which I thought was really impressive. Just what does it say about his game and just where he's headed?
Well, I mean, Jordan Spieth is a fantastic young golfer. I think he's known that from the start. He's, I followed him a lot during his amateur career as a junior. We all kind of thought that Spieth was going to be a very good pro. We didn't know if he was going to be a great pro. I mean, the level of golf is so great on the pro tour. But, you know, Spieth has a game that seems like it can travel to different styles of golf courses. He's steady. He's level-headed, especially for someone as young as he is. You know, it's been very impressive to watch him to go on this major run here. I was able to follow him during the part of his Texas swing that he made in Houston and in San Antonio before he won the Masters, and I could have told you that he was going to play well. I don't think anybody could have predicted he was going to play this well. You know, the win at the U.S. Open was more of a test of survival than anything else. I think everybody knows that. That's the way the U.S. Open is set up. But, you know, that course was there for the taking, and the tournament was there for the taking, and he certainly did, didn't he?
Absolutely, and he's got another big challenge ahead of him with the British Open later this month, and obviously a ton of pressure on him, and all eyes will be watching him as he's looking to be, what, the third player to win three consecutive majors, which would be huge. So what do you feel his chances are with this?
You know, like I said, I think he's got the game that they can travel. I mean, he can play at Chambers Bay with the very much a British Open layout and setup that they had there. He should be able to handle St. Andrews. St. Andrews is not as hard as Chambers Bay, I don't think. It's going to be, you know, Spieth has an old mind for a young man. He seems like he understands the game and understands angles and, you know, shot making, and that's really what it takes to win the British Open more than just bombing out.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because I think back to last week we had Bruce Devlin was on our show, former PGA pro player, and we were talking about, you know, his game. Perhaps I want to ask you this question. I mean, who does he remind you of when you talk about Jordan Spieth?
Wow, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, he's almost like a Tom Kite type of player, but he's stronger than Kite and bigger than Kite. You know, Spieth is a legitimate, you know, 6'1" and maybe 195 pounds, strapping young guy. With just his steadiness, I mean, the way he can adapt to different situations, the guy would put him up to his kites. He seems to make some uncanny putts, which is maybe in the Texas bloodline with Crenshaw and with Hogan and going back as far as, you know, Nelson and those guys. But, you know, Spieth is his own guy. I mean, he's not going to overpower golf courses like Rory McIlroy will or Dustin Johnson, but he's going to hit shots. I think the great example of that is on 18 at the U.S. Open. He knew that with his normal ball flight of right to left that he could bring that bunker on the left side of the fairway into play that everybody else seemed to be playing out of. And coming off of a hole where he just double bogeyed and was almost through the open away, he stands there and goes against his normal shot shape where he hits a high fade to keep the ball in the fairway and set himself up on an upslope for a 285-yard three-wood to the green. So, you know, that's something that not too many players could do that have been on tour for 20 years, more or less, too. So I think it's pretty amazing.
Well, Jordan Spieth, definitely an intriguing player and the fresh face in golf. Hey, Steve Habel is with us right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I promised in the open, hey, we're going to take some time now to talk some college football. The 2015, the start of the season, it will be here before you know it. So what are some of the objectives, those main key and objectives that the Longhorns are looking to accomplish to get off to the right start?
Wow, you have a couple of hours, Alyssa. A couple of minutes.
Hey, Steve. Hey, you know, go ahead.
It's, you know, there's a lot on Charlie Strong's plate for the year. And number one, with a bullet, I would say, is finding a guy who's actually can quarterback the team to wins. He's got two guys that are talented, but talented in different ways. With Tyrone Swoops, who's a great passer, can put the ball, you know, 65 yards on a line. And then a guy like Gerard Hurd, who's a redshirt freshman, has never taken a college snap, and he's more of a spread option type quarterback. He's can run the ball better than Swoops. And, you know, if you had a hybrid of the two, that would probably be what you want, but that's not possible. So that's just not possible. you know, there's a lot of other questions as far as Texas has got a running back, Jonathan Gray, who came out of high school, as you all know, probably more than anybody, was a great talent in high school and could have, you know, seen at that level that he was just going to dominate at the college level, but he's never been a full-time running back in Texas, and it hasn't had to be, so he'll have to carry the load, carry the ball, you know, 275 to 300 times this year, where he's never carried the ball more than 160 times in the last 3 years. So they've got wide receiver questions. They don't know who's going to be their go-to receiver. They've got questions on defense and just about everything except the internal defensive line, where they're pretty strong. They don't have a really proven rush defensive end. They've got three young linebackers that are just unproven linebackers more than anything. And just really one guy back in the secondary. He's been in that Texas mold of great secondary players. So there's a lot going on with Charlie Strong right now. His head is probably spinning as we're talking about it right now.
A lot of questions to be answered. That's why we've got Steve Habel with us from Horns Illustrated right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. We talk about some of the questions in terms of at the quarterback position. But talk to me about the offensive line. I mean, who returns and what's your confidence level with the offensive line this year?
You know, there's three seniors on the offensive line. There's four guys that have actually played a lot are going to play up there. But that's not necessarily a great thing. I think that the guys that are playing up there were probably not projected to be starters when they were signed at Texas, you know, 3 years ago. So they're a little light on that side. Plus, these guys were recruited to play in a more of a smash-mouth type offense than a spread offense. Because Mack Brown, in his last couple of years at Texas, was talking about trying to play Alabama-style football. And then Charlie Strong does not bring a big pass-first mentality to the game. So they're going to have to learn how to block differently than they have in the last 3 years. That said, they've got one of the best offensive coaches around in Joe Wickline, who is second to none in getting an offensive line to play up to their potential. So, you know, anything starts on offense on the offensive line, and how that group gels is a huge, huge question mark and a huge, huge aspect for Texas this year.
How did Charlie Strong do with recruiting?
You know, he did well. He was a top 10 recruiting class. Charlie Strong is he's an in-your-face, no-nonsense guy. So he's going to, you know, he walks into a recruit's house and after he eats fried chicken or whatever else, if they've got cooked steak or whatever else, like pasta. I mean, he said that he ate more food while he was recruiting this year than he ever had before. But he said that he gets down to business. If he's going to help Texas, then he wants you on the team. You know, his attitude and the attitude of the assistants at Texas to turn this program around where it's more of a physical program, a more in-your-face, you know, we're not going to take anything from anybody program. Texas of old, but people actually feared playing Texas. You know, Strong has got them on the right track. You know, to be quite honest with you, it's, you know, it may be a couple more years away. But we don't know if he's going to have a couple more years at Texas with the patience level that's in all. He's, you know, I think he's a great guy. We really got a chance to meet him more this year than we had last year, and we understand where he's coming from. But you know, just because Texas is getting better doesn't mean that anybody else in the Big 12 is getting worse. I mean, they've got the Big 12 is stocked, and you got two teams in the top five to start the season in TCU and Baylor, and probably three in the top 15 with Oklahoma in there. You know, and Texas plays a schedule that is stocked. They're going to play Notre Dame on the road to start the season. Mm-hmm. So it's I think that we'd be optimistic to say that Texas will be better record-wise this year than they were last year, but I think they'll be better on the field than they were last year.
That, of course, was Steve Habel from Horns Illustrated, and it is time to thank all of our amazing guests and our lineup. We were locked and loaded over the past 2 hours. Our good friend Joe George, the producer of the Big East Sports Show, as we took time to recap the NBA draft. Andy Pondillo with our MLB news and notes. James Hale from OU Insider. You can also listen to him at KREF 1400 in Norman, Oklahoma. Steve Kyler with Basketball Insiders. And Freddie Coleman from ESPN. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell encouraging you not to drink and drive. And we'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.